Right now, there is this video generation model called Sora 2, and it is going absolutely viral online.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere.
You have probably seen the clips on your timeline, right? Like these jaw-dropping, hyper-realistic, minute-long fly-throughs of futuristic cities.
They look completely indistinguishable from, a $100 million Hollywood blockbuster.
Exactly. But here is the crazy part. If you look inside the studios of actual professional creators today, they aren't using it.
No, they are actively ignoring it.
They are ignoring the most famous AI in the world in favor of, well, boring utilitarian workhorses. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are going to find out exactly why that is.
It's basically the ultimate paradox of the tech industry right now, I think. We are so easily blinded by the spectacle that we miss the actual revolution happening quietly in the background.
Which is exactly why we are taking a machete to the overwhelming jungle of the AI space today.
Yeah.
Our goal is to uncover what is actually useful for you, the listener, right now.
We have a lot of ground to cover.
We really do. Our roadmap is this fantastic stack of sources, mostly anchored by the April 8, 2026 edition of the Artel Daily Newsletter.
Yeah, that's a great issue.
It's this massive, comprehensive roundup of the latest tools, shifting creator trends, and a pretty terrifying security alert that we definitely need to talk about later.
We absolutely do. And our mission for you today is to really map out this massive shift happening in 2026. We are officially moving away from the hype-driven spectacle of generative AI,
Right.
and we are transitioning into an era of practical, hyper-specific workflows. By the end of this conversation, you will know exactly where you should be investing your time and your creative energy rather than, just chasing the next viral tool.
Because we are looking way past those flashy headlines to see how these models actually function on your desktop
Yeah.
and in your actual projects. To do that, I mean, we have to start with the overarching philosophy of where AI is at in 2026.
There is a trend piece from LTX Studio in our stack today, actually.
Yes, and their core argument is fascinating. They say the era of the content fire hose is completely over. Audiences are just numb.
They are completely desensitized. I mean, think about it. A few years ago, generating a hyper-realistic image of an astronaut riding a horse on Mars was, well, it was a
It
marvel.
broke the internet.
It's it. But today, it's just digital clutter. The generic AI video that floods social media timelines, it just no longer commands attention. So LTX Studio makes this brilliant point. The competitive edge for creators no longer comes from sheer volume.
Right, it's not about output anymore.
Exactly. It comes from intentional, targeted use.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because that LTX Studio piece pairs perfectly with another source we have from the Pingy blog.
Oh, the 2026 video model showdown.
Yeah, they took all the heavy hitters, Sora 2, Veo, Runway Gen 4.5, Kling, and Luma Ray 3, and they put them all through a gauntlet.
And the results were pretty surprising.
They threw me for a loop, honestly. Pingy came to the conclusion that Runway Gen 4.5 and Kling are the practical workhorses of the industry right now, while Sora 2 is still, quote, more spectacle than substance for most actual workflows.
Yeah, that ruffled some feathers.
I bet. Because I'm looking at this showdown and I'm confused. Sora 2 is making the most visually stunning, physics-defying stuff out there. How can the most advanced visual model be considered useless to a pro? Like, what defines substance over spectacle here?
What's fascinating here is the massive gulf between generating a random cool clip and actually needing precise control for a sequential narrative.
Okay, give me an example.
Let's say you are directing a short film. A spectacle model like Sora 2 is essentially a slot machine. You type in a prompt for a sci-fi city, you pull the lever, and it spits out something gorgeous.
Right.
But what if you need the camera to pan exactly 15 degrees to the left? What if you need a specific character to walk out of a specific doorway wearing the exact same coat they had in the previous scene, and, you need the lighting to match perfectly?
The slot machine can't guarantee you get the same sherry twice. It
Yeah.
just rolls the dice again and gives you a slightly different, equally gorgeous sci-fi city.
Precisely. And that is the actual boring mechanics of filmmaking. That is where substance comes from.
So the other models are doing that better.
Yeah. Models like Runway Gen 4.5 and Kling, they aren't just generating pixels from text anymore. They have built out underlying tool sets that allow a creator to grab the steering wheel. They understand motion tracking, they map camera physics, they lock in spatial consistency so a room doesn't just morph when the camera turns around. In 2026, professionals do not want a random cool video. They need the exact video they spent 3 weeks storyboarding.
That makes total sense. That transition from just typing a prompt and hoping for the best to actively guiding the output with a steering wheel, That is the intentional, targeted use LTX Studio is talking about.
Exactly.
And since precision is the new gold standard, we are seeing this exact same fragmentation happen across the board.
Mm.
It's not just video. Creators are fundamentally changing how they handle static images, too.
Right, because the monolithic do-everything tool is becoming obsolete. The industry realized that you cannot build one single brain that perfectly understands photorealistic cinematic lighting and corporate graphic design and hand-drawn anime all at once.
The neural pathways just get muddled, right?
Exactly. They cross wires. Which brings us to CapCut's latest release.
Yes, the Art Daily Roundup highlights that they just dropped Dreamina Seasons 2.0.
And the major selling point here isn't that it can generate anything and everything. It's the improved motion fidelity and incredibly tight style consistency.
Specifically geared toward ad creatives and short form content, if I remember correctly.
Right. It is a highly specialized tool built for a very narrow use case.
And you see this specialization even more clearly in the static image models. Zapier just released their 2026 AI image generator roundup. They tested FLUX, Midjourney, Ideogram, and a newer model named Reeve.
Reeve is making waves right now.
It really is.
Yeah.
Now, FLUX is still holding the crown as the open source benchmark for sheer power. But Reeve is getting a massive amount of attention for a specific metric called prompt fidelity.
Let's define that for the listener because it sounds a bit like jargon.
Yeah, prompt fidelity just means the AI actually listens to what you tell it to do, right?
In the most literal sense, yes. Older models suffered from this thing called aesthetic override.
Oh, hate that.
We all do. You would ask for a gritty, unpolished photo of a messy kitchen, and the AI would give you a kitchen, sure, but it would forcibly apply a glossy, Instagram-perfect filter over it.
Because that is what its training data rewarded.
Exactly. Reeve strips away that default aesthetic. It might not look as inherently beautiful out of the box, but if you ask for a specific texture in a specific corner with a specific lighting setup, Reeve's with absolute precision.
It's building exactly what you asked for. And then I was reading through this new guide from getimg.ai in our stack, and it completely reframes this whole process. Instead of a standard top 10 AI models list ranked from best to worst, getimg.ai breaks down art generators entirely by style category. Like, they have a section for anime, a section for watercolor, a section for conceptual architecture.
Which completely changes the creator's mental model.
Exactly. So what does this all mean? To me, it completely shatters the myth that we are moving toward one ultimate superintelligence that handles all our creative needs.
Right.
Instead of fighting a general purpose AI with massive paragraph long prompts, trying to force it to draw watercolor, you just select a model whose native language is already watercolor. You stop wrestling the AI and you start casting the right actor for the role.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is exactly how we escape the content fire hose. When you have a model exclusively trained on watercolor textures and another, like Reeve, trained on strict prompt adherence, you are making architectural choices.
You are building a toolkit.
Yes. You are matching the specific cognitive capability of a specialized model to the exact parameters of your project.
But if we agree that building a toolkit of highly specialized models is the future, how do you actually wire all those different models together? I mean, without losing your mind.
It can get complicated.
For the true power users out there, the answer is turning to node-based local pipelines. And the absolute center of gravity for this is Comfy UI.
For anyone unfamiliar, Comfy UI is a visual programming interface. Instead of a text box where you type a prompt, imagine an open workbench.
Okay, I'm with you.
You place different modules, which are called nodes, onto the workbench. One node generates the base image. You draw a line connecting it to a second node, which applies a specific style.
Okay.
You draw another line to a third node that upscales the resolution. You are essentially building a custom physical assembly line for your artwork. The conveyor belt moves the image from station to station.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because there's a new node in the Art Daily Digest called Comfy UI's Vero Boy Photo, and it is a massive breakthrough for professional photographers.
Oh, the raw file workflow.
Yes. This node allows you to pipe iPhone and DSLR RAW files directly onto that Comfy UI assembly line, apply your AI edits, and export them back out as DNG files.
To understand why this is such a big deal, we really have to look at what a RAW file actually is.
Break it down for us.
Think of a digital camera sensor as millions of tiny buckets collecting light. A RAW file keeps all the individual data in every single bucket. Every subtle shadow, every blown out highlight,
It's all there.
it's all there. But normally, the moment you run an image through an AI tool, the software takes all those buckets, paints a flat compressed picture of them in a standard JPEG format, and throws the original buckets away.
You lose all that dynamic range. You destroy the underlying data.
Exactly. But this VeroBoy node keeps the buckets intact.
That is wild.
You run your AI adjustments on the assembly line, export it as a DNG file, which is just a universal raw format, and then you can drop that file into Lightroom or DaVinci Resolve.
And you still have all the uncompressed shadow and highlight data to play with. It finally bridges the gap between AI generation and professional color grading.
It does, and the broader community is building ingenious infrastructure to make setting up these complex assembly lines incredibly easy. Our sources mention a GitHub repository from a user named Cubic.
Right.
Cubic figured out how to embed the entire Comfy UI workflow into the metadata of a standard PNG image.
Okay, I need you to explain the mechanics of that, because when I first read it, it felt like literal magic.
Yeah.
How do you fit an entire software pipeline into a picture?
Well, every digital photo has invisible text attached to it called metadata. Usually this just tells your computer the date the photo was taken or what camera lens was used.
The basic stats.
Right. But Cubic realized you could hide the entire blueprint of your Comfy UI assembly line inside that invisible text.
Wow.
So you can go to a platform like OpenArt's Comfy UI Hub, find an image you like, download the PNG, and just drag it onto your Comfy UI workbench.
And it just works.
The software reads that hidden blueprint and instantly builds the exact pipeline of nodes used to create that image right before your eyes.
It is this beautiful, collaborative utopia of open source power. You can share entire digital factories just by sending someone a photo. But unfortunately, we have to pivot to the dark side of this open source power.
Yes, the security alert.
There is a deeply concerning report from X, from an account called Japanese AI News in the Stack. According to their reporting, over 1,000 Comfy UI servers have been completely hijacked.
It's a huge problem right now.
Hackers have swept in and drafted over 1,000 of these high-powered local AI rigs into botnets to mine cryptocurrency. How does that even happen?
It happens because of a fundamental misunderstanding of networking and hardware. Running these advanced AI models locally requires a massive amount of VRAM. Video random access memory.
Right. The memory on your graphics card.
Exactly. Think of your computer's hard drive as a filing cabinet and your VLAN as your physical desk space. An AI model is a massive, incredibly complex blueprint. To use it, you have to take the whole blueprint out of the cabinet and lay it entirely flat on the desk.
Makes sense.
If you don't have 16 or 24 gigabytes of desk space, the blueprint falls off the edge and the program crashes. Cryptocurrency miners desperately want to use that exact same massive desk space to lay out complex cryptographic puzzles and mine digital currency.
But how are they breaking into someone's house to use their desk? That's the part I don't get.
Through public-facing network ports. Think of your home internet router like the front door of an apartment building. By default, it is locked to the outside world. But a lot of Comfy UI users want to access their powerful home computer from, say, a coffee shop.
So they can work remotely.
Right. So they go into their router settings and prop one specific door open. They open a port. The problem is they don't put a bouncer at the door. They don't set up authentication.
Oh, no.
Malicious botnets constantly scan the entire internet looking for propped open doors. And when they find one connected to a computer with massive VRAM, they walk right in and hijack the graphics card.
Okay, put yourself in the shoes of our listener right now. If I am a professional photographer and I want to edit a RAW file with that cool news VeroBoy node to keep my lighting data intact.
Yeah.
But then I hear that if I set this up, my $10,000 editing rig might get hijacked by a crypto botnet because I didn't configure a network bouncer properly. Why on earth would I take the risk of running this locally?
It's a fair question.
Isn't it just irresponsible for someone who isn't a cybersecurity expert?
That is the defining tension of open source AI today. You are looking at a brutal trade-off. On one side, you have local data sovereignty. For a professional handling sensitive files, maybe unreleased commercial products or private corporate assets, uploading those images to a third-party server is often a direct violation of their non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah, right. The legal side.
They have absolutely no choice but to process it locally where the data never leaves the building.
But on the other side is the fact that we are expecting visual artists to suddenly become IT network administrators.
Yeah. Which is an unfair expectation. The Comfy UI software itself isn't a virus. The vulnerability is purely user error in network management. If you don't intimately understand how to secure a local network port, you simply should not be exposing your AI pipeline to the public internet. It really is that simple.
Which is a terrifying realization for creatives who just want to make art. Thankfully, for listeners who agree with my hesitation about local security risks, and let's be honest, the insane hardware costs of buying enough VRAM desk space to run these things, the industry is building out some heavy-duty cloud alternatives.
We are seeing a rapid rise in bundled cloud platforms that handle all of the terrifying back-end infrastructure for you.
The prime example in our sources is Run Diffusion. They just updated their platform to bundle Flux 2, Cdream 4, VO3, and Kling all into one single web interface.
Which is incredibly convenient.
It solves the exact problems we just outlined. You completely bypass the limitations of your own computer's VRAM because you're using their massive server farms. And you avoid 100% of the local installation and security risks.
It abstracts away the command line interfaces, the GitHub repositories, and the network port configurations. You are trading a monthly subscription fee for peace of mind.
Using Run Diffusion is like renting time in a high-security, fully-stocked industrial art studio. You don't have to build a factory in your own garage, and you don't have to worry about crypto miners breaking in to steal your paint.
So that's a great way to look at it.
You just log in, the tools are there, you do your work, and you close the browser.
And that concept, having the tools entirely managed and curated for you, leads directly into the final major development from our stack today. Meta has just announced a new project they are calling Muse Spark.
Yes, I saw Meta's blog post on this, and the specifics are still incredibly vague. But they are explicitly positioning Muse Spark as a step toward, quote, personalized, creative superintelligence that will integrate directly across their entire family of apps.
Personalized creative superintelligence. That is a heavily loaded phrase.
It really is.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean in a landscape currently defined by manual tool juggling? We just spent 10 minutes talking about wiring up 20 different nodes on an assembly line just to keep a photo shadow data intact. What does a superintelligence do differently?
This raises an important question about the fundamental direction of creative work. Right now, the professional standard is granular manual control. You pick the specialized model, you build the node pipeline, you guide the prompt with the steering wheel.
Right.
What Meta is promising with Muse Spark is a system that observes how you work. It learns your specific aesthetic preferences, it analyzes your past edits, and it anticipates your creative needs before you even articulate them.
So it's basically reading your mind.
It is the exact opposite of manual node-by-node tweaking.
It elevates the AI from being a paintbrush to acting as your personal creative director.
Exactly. And this signals a massive future war between open source control and corporate walled gardens. Yeah. Think about the choice creators will have to make. Do you want to build your own painstakingly perfect pipeline in comfy UI, where you control every single pixel but carry the burden of hardware costs and security risks?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to step into Meta's seamless walled garden, where a personalized superintelligence makes all the technical decisions for you, but you fundamentally surrender the underlying mechanics of the process?
It is the ultimate convenience versus control debate, and it is going to define the next 5 years of digital creation. So, as we wrap up this deep dive today, let's bring it all back down to earth. Escaping the overwhelming content fire hose of 2026 means making deliberate, informed choices.
It really does.
It means abandoning the illusion of a one-size-fits-all AI and instead matching specific models to specific jobs, like using Reeve for strict prompt fidelity, FLUX for open source power, and Kling or Runway for sequential video control.
It also means making hard, realistic decisions about your digital infrastructure. You have to actively decide whether to invest in the hardware and cybersecurity knowledge to run local comfy UI pipelines, or accept that cloud platforms like Run Diffusion are worth the monthly subscription to save your sanity.
And the reason you need to care about all of this, whether you are prepping for a marketing meeting on Monday morning, directing a short film, or just generating art for fun in your living room, is that your competitive edge has fundamentally shifted.
Totally.
It is no longer about how much content you can generate with the push of a button. Anyone can pull the slot machine lever. Your value is entirely tied to how intentionally you can grab the steering wheel and guide the AI to do exactly what you want it to do. Precision is power.
But if we look just over the horizon at Meta's promise of Muse Spark, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over.
Let's hear it.
If a system successfully delivers a personalized creative superintelligence, an AI that intuitively knows your exact style, seamlessly anticipates your edits, and never, ever argues with your vision what happens to human creative collaboration.
Wow.
For centuries, great art, great films, and great products have been born from friction. They come from two humans with different ideas clashing, compromising, and combining their visions into something new. If your ultimate perfect creative team becomes just you and a hyper-tailored AI that simply mirrors your own mind back to you, will the art of humans compromising and collaborating with each other become a lost skill?
Because when the AI acts exactly like a frictionless machine that never pushes back on your ideas, well, maybe we'll realize that sometimes the friction of working with other people was exactly what made the art worth looking at in the first place.